أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. إن الحمد لله نستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفسا ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. Dear brothers and sisters, يوم القيامة, the day of judgment, has got several names in the Quran. It's mentioned in several ways. But one of the interesting names that were given is in the Quran, where it says يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. This is the day when the witnesses will be called to come forwards. So who are those witnesses that are going to be there present on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ? Now, first and foremost, of course, is going to be Allah, because Allah knows all what we conceal and what we reveal. And we know that the famous hadith about the maratib, with the angel Jibreel asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about iman and about Islam and about ihsan. And when he asked about ihsan, what is ihsan? He said that you worship Allah as if you can see him, and if you can't see him, he can see you. So this is how it is. Allah can actually see everything we are doing. Allah is a witness on everything that we see and do in this world. Hatim al-Asam is a famous scholar. When he was learning, he was attending in one of the halaqat with a teacher. And the teacher, to teach his students this lesson, said, I'll give each of you a chicken, and I want you to slaughter this chicken, but make sure you find a place where nobody can see you and slaughter the chicken. So each of them went away and slaughtered the chicken somehow, hiding in a place or another. Hatim al-Asam came back with the chicken and slaughtered, and he asked him, you know, why didn't you slaughter it? He said, because you said slaughter in a place where nobody can see you. And Allah can see me everywhere. There's no such place on earth that I can hide from. So this is how we should be looking at what happens every day. Allah is around, Allah sees us, Allah is with us everywhere, whatever we are doing. And Ibn al-Qayyim said, do not look at how small a sin can be, but look at how great who you're doing the sin against, who you're sinning against. So it doesn't matter how small the sin is, but you are sinning against a very great entity, Allah, of course. So he even went to the extreme of saying that ignoring the fact that Allah is watching is worse than the actual sin. So if somebody does a sin, no matter small or big, the fact that he's ignoring or she's ignoring the fact that Allah is watching is actually worse than the sin itself. Anyhow, so the second sort of witness that's going to be present on Yawm al-Qiyamah are the angels. And we all know that there are angels everywhere. For example, on Friday, we know that there are two angels standing at the gate of every mosque, writing down the name of everybody who's coming and jotting it in. And once the khatib or the imam stands up for his khutbah, they close the books. Now, just imagine for a moment that you could actually virtually see these angels. If we could actually see these angels standing out there, would any of us be ever late? I doubt it. Now, the other thing is, in the Quran it says, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Allah tells us that every one of us, every human being, every creature has got two angels on his shoulders, one on the right and one on the left. They write and document every single thing that we say and do. Now, obviously we can't see these angels. But if we can bring ourselves to think about them and feel that they are present, feel that there is an angel on your right and an angel on your left, writing down, jotting down every single thing you say or do, would you do a lot of things that you are doing? Would you change your attitude? Just food for thought. Anyway. Now, on the Day of Judgment, this book that they write will be given to each of us. And we know that there's no third way. You either get it with your right hand or with your left hand. And we all know that those who get it with the right hand, they will say, "Ha'um ikra'u khitabiyya." Look at that. Look at what I've done. Very proud of it. And those who get it with the left hand, of course, are going to be though very miserable people. And there are those who are going to try and hide their hands so that they don't get it, put it behind their backs. And Allah says about that, and those will get their books behind their backs, so they will receive the books behind their backs. And that's why in the Quran it mentions three categories of people, those who receive it with the right hand, those who receive it with the left hand, and those who receive the book behind their back. So anyway, let's move on. Now, the next witness that's going to be witnessing on all of us and for all of us on the Day of Judgment is the inanimate objects. So the walls, the floor, the trees, everything is going to be a witness. Allah says in Surah Al-Zalzala, which I'm sure we all know, وَيَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. The earth is going to be a witness, it's going to speak up. Where have you been praying? Every single place where you've done sujood is going to be a witness for you. And I mean, just today, we had a bit of an argument between our two muaddins, who wants to do the adhan more. And they do the adhan and they know that they raise their voice, because the higher they raise their voice, the wider it's going to reach. And whoever listens to this adhan is going to be a witness on the Day of Judgment. So all the inanimate objects are going to be witnesses. Now, after all this, there are going to be a category of people who are going to say, "Hang on, no, I don't believe that. This book is fraud. I don't believe what's written in the book. These witnesses are not telling the truth." And this is where the fourth and final witness comes in, where these people who try to argue will have their mouth sealed, and then their hands, their legs, and their skins are going to speak out and be the witnesses. And the Quran, God speaks about that, and He says, وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. And they talk to their skin and they say, "Why are you witnessing against us?" قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. It is Allah who has made us speak, and He will make everything speak on the Day of Judgment. So this is just an introduction to get to the point I want to make. I think we need to get into a mental state. We need to get into this state where we feel that what we are doing on earth, what we say, what we do, is just not gone like that. Everything is being documented. Everything is being registered. And everything we will be asked about. And this is where I want to come in what they call حضور القلب أو المراقبة. That is to have your heart present and watch yourself all the time. Watch yourself in what you do. Watch yourself while you're praying. I know it's difficult, and we all fall into that, but can you imagine that when you stand up to pray to Allah, the Prophet tells us that when you stand up to pray to Allah, do not turn your face. Why? Because Allah is having His face in front of your face. Of course, ma'al fariq, Allah, there's no way to understand exactly how, but in His own way. So when you are standing to pray, you are standing in front of Allah, you are talking to Allah. So how can we be standing to talk to Allah while we are thinking about the car, the business, what I'm going to do, what's happening here, what's happening there? How can we do that? I mean, I know we all do it. But what I'm saying is that we need to get into this mental state. We try to remind ourselves we are standing in front of Allah when we are praying. When we are giving charity, we know that we have been told, أَنَّ الصَّدَقَةَ تَقَعْ فِي يَدْ الرَّبِّ قبل أن تقع في يد العبد. When we give charity, the charity goes into Allah's hand, and of course Allah doesn't have a hand as the hand we understand, but it goes into His hand before it goes to the hand of those you're giving. So when you are giving sadaqah, when you are giving charity, think about that. Just stand for a minute and think. Just don't go and give the worst thing that you, you know, your dirty clothes, your worn out clothes, your worn out shoes, things that you don't want. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will only get birr when you start spending from what you love, what is dear to you. So when we do sadaqah, we don't feel, you know, I'm being very generous here, I'm giving a donation. Hang on, it's not your money, it's not my money, it's money that Allah has given us. So we need to feel this way when we are doing our sadaqat. We need to watch ourselves. Because sometimes it's can be quite easy for us to feel, oh look, you know, I'm very generous, I've done a good deed today, or I've donated a lot of money today, I've helped somebody today. Don't feel this way. Because it's being given to you or to me by Allah. Allah says, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهُ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ. When we give charity, Allah takes it. Allah says in the Quran, do they not know that? So quite often when we give sadaqah, when we give charity, when we're donating here or anywhere, we mustn't be miserly and we mustn't feel good about it. Oh, it's great that we're doing it. We must feel that this is going to Allah first before it goes. Sayyidah Aisha used to perfume the sadaqat before she gives it away, because she said it falls in the hand of Allah before it goes to the hand of those who are getting it. Now, another point which is important, actually, which is the essence of what I want to discuss today. Allah says in the Quran, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى وَهُوَ مَعَلْكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Do they not know that Allah sees and He is with you wherever you are, behind closed doors, in a locked room, in the darkness, in the light, Allah is with us everywhere. So we need to be aware of that in our everyday life. And this is the essence of Islam. This is the essence of the religion. It's not about prayer and it's not about salah. Of course, all these things are important. But it's about dealings. How do we deal with each other every day? How do we deal with our work every day? When you go to work, do you try to cheat? Do you try to get away with not doing your work properly? Allah is watching. This is what we need to get into. We need to remember Allah is watching us in every single thing we do. It's all about day-to-day life. Unfortunately, the reason why Muslims in this day and age have got to where they are now is that they forgot this. Unfortunately, you find that most Muslims cheat. Most Muslims, a lot of Muslims, I wouldn't say most, but a lot of them cheat. A lot of them are inaccurate in their dates. A lot of them are dishonest. How can they do that and they call themselves Muslims? How can they do that when they know that Allah is with them and watching them? It doesn't matter, you're not cheating somebody else. You might be cheating somebody else, but Allah is watching you. How can you do that when Allah is watching you? If you could actually see Him, would you do that? And this is exactly the message I'm trying to get home today, drive home, is we need to be able to get into this mental state where we feel that Allah is literally with us, because He is. And Allah is literally seeing all what we're doing. Now, another point which is very important in this day and age, we see all the tribulations going around us, all the temptations. It's very difficult, it's very hard. And especially for the youngsters, I understand how difficult it is to deal with it. But one very important tool, one very important weapon that you have is to feel that Allah is with you. If you feel that Allah is with you, you will find it much, much easier to deal with all the temptations, to deal with all the difficulties, to deal with all what's going through every day. So we need to be able to get into this state of mind. Now, in Qissat Sayyidina Yusuf, which we all know about, when Zulaikha, the woman, was trying to seduce him, and when she closed the doors to seduce him, and there was the statue of one of the gods, so she covered the statue. And Sayyidina Yusuf told her, are you shy of the statue and you're not shy of Allah? And this is exactly what we need to remind ourselves of. Quite often we will try to, you know, if somebody is watching, we will pretend that we're praying very well, you know, we're being very pious, we're being charitable, we're being kind, and if we're behind closed doors, if nobody sees us, we might behave in a different way. Do we not remember that Allah is with us everywhere? Do we not remember that Allah sees us everywhere? Allah says in the Quran, يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They hide from people, and they don't hide from Allah. وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ. And He is with them. إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. When they are trying to say, they want to do things that He will not be happy about. إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطًا. He is surrounding everything that you do. Everything that we do, everything that we see. He is with us. He is everywhere. Allah is everywhere. He does not have a position. He does not have front, back, up, down. He is everywhere. So whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we act, how we interact with people, Allah is there. Allah is watching us. And finally, it's a long subject. If we can get to this mental state of feeling that Allah is with us everywhere and feel that Allah is watching us, we will always be humble. Because how can you be arrogant? How can you be arrogant when your owner is with you, is watching you? We are slaves. I'm a slave. I'm a slave to Allah. He is watching me. He is with me now. How can I be arrogant? How can I even think that I'm better than somebody else? He has given me all what I have. He owns me. He can take me whenever He wants. He can give me whatever He wants. I am nothing. If I can actually feel this all the time, I will never be arrogant. I will never deal with anybody in arrogance. So I think this is the message that I wanted to drive home today, is that we need to get to a mental state. We need to find somehow, some way to remind us that Allah is ever present. Allah is with us in everything we are doing, in every action, whether it's a good action or a bad action, whether it's prayer, whether it's sadaqat, whether it's dealing with people, whether we're at work, whether we're in the darkness, whether in closed doors, whether anywhere, Allah is with us everywhere. In the second part of my khutbah, I will try to give you some tips about how to try to achieve this. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فإنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. One of the famous scholars called Ibrahim ibn al-Adham, and one of the men went to him and says, look, I'm too weak, I can't stop sinning, so find me a fatwa that will allow me to sin. So he told him, fine, okay, go and i'asillah, do against Allah, do sins, i'asillah, ولكن لا تأكل طعامه ولا تشرب ماءه, don't eat his food and don't drink his water. And the man said, of course, you know that, look, all the provisions are from Allah. So how do you ask me to do such a thing? That's impossible. He said, fine, okay, if you can't do this one, then move to the next one. Don't do it on his land. لا تعصي الله على أرضه. If you want to be sinful, fine, sin. But sin against Allah, but not on his land. And he said, how can I do that? I live on the earth that belongs to Allah. So he told him, fine. If you can't do that, I'll give you something else. Sin on his land, eat his food and drink his water, but do it somewhere where he can't see you. And the man said, but Allah is everywhere. Allah sees me wherever I am. Give me something else. He said, fine, okay. Do all this. Sin even you know that Allah can see you, but when the angel of death comes to take your soul, tell him, please wait for 5 minutes. Give me a chance to do my tawbah and pray 2 rak'ahs. Just let them wait for a little while before they take my soul. Or, if you even can't do that, when you're dead and they're trying to drag you into hellfire, tell them, no, I'm not going with you. And the man said, I get the message. I understand. So this is what it's really all about. Anyhow, so coming back to how can we achieve that? How can we get ourselves into this mental state? It's not easy. It needs a lot of work. It needs a lot of jihad. This is the real jihad. This is the real mujahada. It's not about blowing yourself up. This is the real jihad. And the Prophet ﷺ said, just the last hadith before I go into the practical aspects, he says, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you're not ashamed of Allah, just do whatever you want. As long as you don't feel that Allah is watching you and you're ashamed of Him, go out and do whatever you want. Anyhow, so they say, the scholars say that كَثْرَةِ الذِّكْرِ هُوَ بَابِ الْحُضُورِ مَعَ اللَّهِ. To do a lot of dhikr continuously, it is how you will be able to feel that Allah is with you and feel that you are with Allah. And of course, we all know that we try to do dhikr. We say, astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. And then after the third or fourth astaghfirullah, I'm probably thinking about, you know, what I'm doing this afternoon or my next trip or whatever. Yes, this all happens to us. So they asked Ibn Ata'illah about this. And he said, لا تترك الذكر العدم الحضور. Do not give up doing dhikr, whatever sort of dhikr, whether it's salah, whether it's tasbih, whether it's, just because your heart is not present with the dhikr. You must persist with it. This is the jihad. To persist with it. For Allah will then change your zikr with ghafla, while your sort of your mind is elsewhere, into zikr ma'awjud yaqaza. By time, with repetition, with persistence, your zikr will become with yaqaza. You will be aware of what you are saying. You're not going to, your mind is not going to go astray everywhere. Wa min zikr ma'awjud yaqaza ila dhikr ma hudur. And then you will go to the next stage where when you're doing the dhikr, you feel that Allah is with you and watching you. وَمِن ذِكْرِ مَا حُضُورِ إِلَى ذِكْرِ مَا غَيْبَ. And that's a much higher stage, which I doubt that, you know, any of us will be able to can get to it. But it's a situation where you actually don't see the world around you, just see Allah in front of you. A man asked Prophet ﷺ, he said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قُلِّ شَيْءٌ أَتَثَبَّتْ بِهِ. Tell me just one thing. I'm a simple man. I can't do too many things. Just give me one bit of advice that I cling to so that I can find my way. And the Rasul told him, لا يزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله. Your tongue is almost always moist with dhikr of Allah. Of course, dhikr al-lisan is the lowest sort of dhikr, but this is where we all start. And then it goes higher, higher until dhikr al-qalb. And then we go higher, inshallah, to dhikr al-hudur. But anyhow, we need to start somewhere. We need to remind ourselves, each and every one of us needs to find their own way to get into this mental state where they feel that Allah is with him or with her, wherever he is, wherever he are. اللهم إني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم اجعلنا نخشاك كأننا نراك. اللهم اجعلنا نخشاك كأننا نراك. اللهم اجعلنا نخشاك كأننا نراك. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا، وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا، وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا، وألزم قلوبنا حفظ كتابك كما علمتنا. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا، وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا، وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم. وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله.